Pretty busy show today. If you are new to the podcast, if you just found the podcast, do me a favor in your podcast app, hit the follow button so you get the episode every day. If you've been following for a while and you want to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I would appreciate that. Late night has been off. So I turned to Twitter. Conan O'Brien tweeted, "Great, my horse has worms and the pharmacy's out of everything except COVID vaccines." That is an awesome joke. Conan also said, "One of the coolest things about my new show being on HBO Max is that it'll probably be released in theaters and on TV the exact same day." All right. Kenny DeForest tweets, "I bet Eric Clapton would take the vaccine if we called it George Harrison's wife." Yikes. John Mulaney and Olivia Munn, "I don't know. I don't know, guys. Sorry to break the news to everybody, especially John Mulaney." From OK Magazine, which is your home for comedy news, the headline, "Olivia Munn has quietly opted to dial things back with John Mulaney ahead of his cross-country comedy tour." Oh no, when you leave your wife for Olivia Munn and then Olivia Munn's like, "I don't know." OK says the couple was first reported to be dating in May after the troubled funny man, 38 years old, completed a 60-day rehab stint and called it quits on a 6-year marriage to artist Anna Marie Tendler. OK previously reported that the former SNL writer broke Anna's heart, with a source saying at the time, "People definitely have mixed feelings about his new relationship with Olivia Munn." Despite the raised eyebrows, Mulaney and Munn continue to flaunt their romance around L.A. In June, a source said, "Olivia and John are going strong," gushing that the Buddy Games actress was smitten with the comedian. But now that John Mulaney's busy with his nationwide stand-up tour, an insider says Olivia has opted to dial things back. Olivia needs a guy with a strong base in L.A., and that isn't who John is at all. OK reminds us that Olivia Munn hasn't had a serious relationship since she and NFL superstar Aaron Rodgers split in 2017 after 3 years together. The insider says Olivia is not in the market for another cross-country romance. From Yahoo, we found out more about Pete Davidson's movie Meet Cute. The movie follows the story of Sheila and Gary, Gary played by Pete Davidson, when Sheila finds a time machine in a downtown Manhattan nail salon. What? She uses it to repeatedly travel back in time to relive the best date of her life and figure out where it all went wrong. The premise, what would you do if you could travel to your loved one's past, heal their traumas, fix their problems, and I'm not even going to fix this, and I apparently didn't copy the last sentence of the article, and what, Johnny Mac? I don't know. Sorry, everybody. I could look it up, but it's funnier this way. From Arkansas Online, Gabe Iglesias says the long name for his current tour, which is the Beyond the Fluffy World Tour Go Big or Go Home Tour, is because the pandemic put a halt to the last one. Gabe said, "We didn't finish the tour, so it was one of those, let's finish it out. We still have about 100 dates, and then it's time to change it. We kicked off in Dallas. Once we hit Dallas again, it'll have a new name." In hindsight, Go Big or Go Home should have been left off because everybody wound up going home. Not to mention I had to eat a bunch of t-shirts that had 2020 on it. It looked nice, but yeah, I got stuck with them. I learned a lesson. Leave the year off. Gabe says, "This tour is a whole new set. I'm definitely addressing 2020 and what happened to myself personally and what happened once I got sick, where I'm at my life now, mainly relationships, friends, family. And yeah, it's a different show. Definitely nothing that's been on Netflix or YouTube." He'll have two opening acts, Martin Moreno, who's been there since the beginning, and Alfred Robles. They'll each do 15-minute sets. Gabe also talked about the cancellation by Netflix of Mr. Iglesias. Again, Netflix cancels lots of stuff, man. That's why I feel like right now Netflix is the 7th best streaming service. I'm on an HBO Max kick, which we'll talk about later in this episode. But I'm not surprised Netflix canceled Mr. Iglesias because they cancel kind of everything these days, Gabe said. "We had two wonderful seasons. It was a nice run. Netflix giveth, Netflix taketh. And I just released a series on my Facebook and YouTube called Fluffy Bits, which is my stand-up put to animation. They're short, just little snippets. More for the new generation that's maybe not so attentive, short and sweet. A way to introduce my old stand-up to a new generation because it's based on all my old material. It also includes his explanation for his nickname Fluffy. He says, even though I've lost weight, I'm still considered Fluffy. Fluffy gets me free food." Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the Travel Is Back podcast. I host that. It's a podcast about places I've been and what I like to do when I'm there. This week, the episode goes to Cleveland because this weekend is the Cleveland Air Show. Sounds like a good time. And then next week, the new episode on Monday will be about Vancouver. That podcast is called Travel is Back, wherever you get your shows. Some things you need to watch on TV. I have been evangelizing for HBO Max's The Other Two. I've told some folks about it, and they're like, you're right, Johnny Mac. This is good. So it's called The Other Two. It's on HBO Max. One of the stars is Drew Tarver. His character is Carrie Dubeck. And I think Vulture's done a better job at describing this show than I have. I will read from Vulture, who say, the gay brother to a Justin Bieber-esque teen superstar. Yeah, that's exactly it. That works. A Justin Bieber-esque teen superstar, and this guy plays the brother. Carrie is on a quest to become a serious actor, but in season two, spoilers, he's at least booked a set of hosting gigs and found himself his first boyfriend. Tarver says it's pretty much a dark family drama at heart, with a bunch of jokes about Cameo and Big Gay Ice Cream layered over the top. Vulture said, Carrie starts out the season doing host gigs for places like Thrillist, Huffington Post, and Bagel Bites TV. As someone who works in digital media, it's all very familiar. Tarver said, delivering things to the camera as a host is just very fun for me as an actor, but I think Carrie is, in the first season, dealing with his little brother becoming so famous that it changes his entire atmosphere as a person, being like, whoa, I want this to slow down for a little bit. Sister Brooke kind of convinces him over the season that he could ride this wave. Here in the second season, he's trying to throw himself out there. I think when you're trying to make it to your dream, sometimes these stops along the way can not quite look like your dream. He's getting some legit success, and what does that feel like for him? Does it fix him? There's a thing of moving the goalposts, and when you get this thing, and then it's not enough. Vulture said there's an episode where he signs up for Cameo, where it's sort of a test of how far he'll go to degrade himself for attention. Tarver says there's an episode where he signs up for Cameo, where it's sort of a test of how far he'll degrade himself for attention. It's a strange thing where he's toggling back and forth between the I'm better than this, nah, I should be okay where I am, and that episode is a fun moment of him doing it for the money and being like, oh, these people like what I do. They'll be stoked if I surprise them in person. And of course, he slapped in the face. Vulture asked Tarver if he's ever been on Cameo in real life. He said, no, I mean, after filming this episode, I was like, I could use $25 here or there, but $25 may be wishful thinking for me. Am I $12.50? Am I $20? I haven't been there enough to know the range. I would hope I could get $12 for the full minute, but I don't know. Tarver was going to be in the 2014 version of the bad idea of a How I Met Your Mother spinoff. That one was How I Met Your Dad. The new one that they're trying out is called How I Met Your Father. But back in How I Met Your Dad, he would have been one of the gang at the bar. He said, that was my first big job. It was so fun to do. Carter Bays and Craig Thomas, who created the original. So fun to work with them. And then memories of it not happening, and you're being like, ah, oh. So they say things are going to happen that don't happen sometimes. As for the new one, he says, of course I'm going to be hanging out around the studio trying to sabotage it. I'm going to grow my mustache back out and show up in a mullet and be like, I don't know about this new one. 2014 was the real one. That's great. Another show you should be watching is What We Do in the Shadows. The new season is out. Vulture talked about it. Spoilers-ish. You're fine. Keep listening. The four initial episodes shared with critics explore Nandor's romantic concerns and a ridiculous road trip to Atlantic City to celebrate the wedding anniversary of a Staten Island couple. But they've added on this new layer of the vampiric council leaders, which allows the series to explore the contradiction between the serious macabre nature of vampire existence and the fact that the vampires on this show are a bunch of absolute boobs, is the word Vulture used. I like that word. Taking over the council introduces classic workplace issues, including power struggles, disagreement over how to redesign the local vampiric council's website. Not just suggests, I mean, we could do Franklin Gothic, but it's a bit on the nose. Good joke. They also discuss collecting membership dues from disgruntled vampires and becoming familiar with their new workspace. During a tour of the Vampiric Council, which is located in the basement of a nondescript office building two floors below Tenement Developments, Inc. and Lenox Hill Real Estate, the council's advisor, the Floating Woman, played by Kristen Schaal, who's terrific, Floating Woman walks by a break room where human bodies hang in the air, having seemingly been drained of their blood. Floating Woman says, be sure you label your snacks, because we throw out everything every Friday. What We Do in the Shadows continues to alternate between deadpan, dark, physical, and scatological humor, sometimes within a single scene with ease and effectiveness. It remains delightfully weird. Amen on that. All right, so you're going to watch What We Do in the Shadows, and you're going to watch The Other Two. Do you need a third thing to watch? All right, from the Laugh Button, Drew Lynch, his new special, comedy special, it's up on YouTube. Drew Lynch finished second in America's Got Talent back in 2015. His new special is called Concussed. It's on his YouTube channel, and he talks about COVID, cops, Jesus, gender, drinking, depression, and other topics he's unqualified to talk about. I think this is the last of my Edinburgh Fringe comedy reviews that I've borrowed from Chortle. They gave Rich Paulsford 3.5 stars. Rich Paulsford reckons there are 170 jokes in his 45-minute show, just under 4 a minute. But at a £5 admission, can you really complain? Wordplay, and it's all wordplay, is generally at the level of decent newspaper headlines, though a few exceed that, and you're going to want to try to remember some of his gags to pass off as your own later. What? Who does that? Paulsford has the reassuring, confident voice of a local radio DJ. There's nothing cruder than a Viagra joke and nothing political nor personal. Most setups are from the everyday, but he's not beyond a cannibal broken to 10 Downing Street setup if needed. Sounds good. This weekend, it's the Limestone Comedy Festival. This is in Bloomington, Indiana. Looks like a really good festival. Let's check out the lineup for tonight. 5 p.m., the happy hour. 7:30, the show with two heads, Dana Gould and Bobcat Goldthwait. 7:30, Ben Roy. 7:30, Chanella Lee. 7:30, Sarah Schaefer. 7:30, Dina Hassim. I love comedy festivals where shows overlap. It's like, I love having the pressure of which one we go to and strategizing. When we all go to Montreal next summer, I'm going to walk you through this. There's a whole art to it. You got to make a grid and you got to be like, all right, if we do New Faces at 7, we could hit the British show at 9:30 and maybe we could make the Nasty show at midnight. It's so much fun. Jay McBride, who's fantastic. Look up Jay McBride on YouTube. 10 o'clock. We Called Your Mom with Beth Stelling and Diane Duvall's also at 10. Dina Hashem at 10. Chanella Lee again at 10. Now, Saturday nights start in the afternoon. 1 p.m., Shakes the Clown with Bobcat Goldthwait. 4 p.m., the Blooming 10 Showcase with a bunch of locals. Christella Alonso at 7:30. Sarah Schaefer at 7:30. Ben Roy at 7:30. Jay McBride again at 7:30. See what I'm saying? You could have been like, all right, we'll see Jay McBride's 10 o'clock show on Friday because that frees us up to see Beth Stelling Saturday at 7:30. Christella Alonso at 10 o'clock. Beth Stelling again at 10. Sarah Schaefer again at 10. Ben Roy at 10. What a great festival. Good job. Limestone Comedy Festival, Bloomington, Indiana. After the first festival in 2013, Limestone director and co-founder Jared Thompson said he heard many comedians describe the event as the greatest weekend of their lives. 9 years later, he said the festival is a staple of Bloomington, and it advertises itself as the greatest weekend of your life, Volume 8. Thompson said, I came up with that as a tagline for us. There's also legitimate testimonials from people who say that it's their favorite weekend of the year, and it's the most fun they have in a year. You know, thinking about the pandemic and the lineup I just read to you, this probably is the best comedy festival of 21. Thompson said, when you have a 45 to 60 comedian palette to work with, you can really take a lot of liberty and make sure everybody's represented on stage. Limestone has all different styles, all different walks of life, all different races and genders. That's really the way it should be everywhere. The other nice thing is all the venues are in a 1 to 2 block radius, so it's really easy to hop from one show to the next show. That sounds like a great festival. Also this weekend, the Santa Cruz Comedy Festival. Now for the next 3 consecutive weekends, including this one, it'll be at Outdoor Laurel Park. You know Laurel Park, adjacent to the London Nelson Community Center in downtown Santa Cruz. You know what I'm talking about, Laurel, yeah. The festival kicks off Saturday with comic Kellen Erskine. Kellen is credited with the joke, Costco's great when you just need chips and a jacuzzi. Lookout.com wrote about this, but this next sentence, I just want to throw up in my mouth off this next sentence. Ready? You guys ready? The summer har-harathon comes by the way of a comic. Har-harathon? Really? No. The organizer is a comedian known as DNA, who for more than a decade has labored as the Johnny Appleseed of live comedy in Santa Cruz County. This year's festival is being billed as the 8th annual, which is technically true, but it's the first of its kind. Last summer, DNA and his comedian friends did live comedy in the teeth of the pandemic with comedians performing before a bunch of parked cars with people listening in from their FM radios. DNA said, it became obvious to me that in comedy it was either evolve or perish. You had to mutate or disappear. That version of the Santa Cruz Comedy Festival operated as a kind of game show slash Olympic trial for stand-up comedians as they faced the daunting task of hitting their mark at a number of gigs. DNA said, I devised a system where comics literally had to run from 99 Bottles to Rosie McCann's to The Poet and the Patriot, dropping a set at each place with no time left to spare. It was chaotic, and controlled chaos is so exciting. Now, what sucks is those 3 venues, 99 Bottles, Rosie's, and The Poet, they're all gone. Victims of COVID-19 economic fallout. So this year, they're doing it in the park. Laurel Park in Santa Cruz kicks off Saturday at 4. Tickets are $25. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday on this here podcast, I'll take a look at Looper's 93 best comedy movies of all time. Yes, it is holiday weekend filler. I don't lie to you. It sure is. I taped it 3 weeks ago. I'm going to the beach. Monday's a normal episode. If you enjoy what I do here, I don't want to shake my cup because it's not one of those National Donuts chain cups. No, today it's some sort of salt and caramel iced coffee from Starbucks. And you know those are like $5 plus. So if you appreciate what I do here and you want to support my coffee habit, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can make a donation any amount you want, a buck, suggest an amount of $5. You can give me $1 million if you want. I will accept it and appreciate it. I'll even mention your name probably twice on the podcast if you give me $1 million. You can also sign up to be a monthly subscriber. A couple of people do that. I appreciate that. So every month, you know, their credit card just gets hit and I get $5. And I usually go to National Donuts chain. But sometimes I go to Starbucks. That's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Like I said, funny movies all weekend, normal on Monday. Enjoy.